your engines.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, hello everybody and welcome to the broadcast. Jim Paris here with you. Great to be with you, and I have to tell you, it is so exciting to see the downloads just continuing to increase each week as I'm putting out fresh episodes. So we've been back now for, I guess this is my fourth straight week. So a little bit of a streak. Had a good weekend. I don't know about you, but it was a lot of fun. Saturday, I went up to St. Augustine, walked around, did my little thing. I got some coffee, a little bit of something to eat. And then on Sunday, I did something I have not done in a really long time. I just cocooned. I just stayed inside my condo the entire day. I never left my condo for the entire day, which I have to tell you is super unusual. I don't like being sort of shut in like that. I get cabin fever, which is why every day, even though I don't have an office, when I work in real estate mortgages, I always go out to a coffee shop just to get out of my condo to kind of get a little bit of different scenery. But yesterday was kind of interesting because where I live in Palm Coast, in the European Village, they had a huge St. Patrick's Day celebration. There was live music, there were bagpipers, there was Irish dancing, there was green beer, there were probably 100 vendors with these small, you know, tents with stuff for sale. I didn't even leave my condo to go down and join in the festivities. I watched from my balcony a little bit, and there's some videos of that up on my Facebook page if you want to check that out. The interesting thing happening right now with me and social media, and I'm going to talk about TikTok a little bit in this episode, is I am starting to get a huge amount of traction on TikTok. And one of the things that's happening for me on TikTok is I'm reaching people organically, meaning people that aren't necessarily following me or are my friends or whatever they call it, you know, in the world of TikTok, but I'm just reaching a lot of new people over on TikTok. So that's kind of exciting. So you can still friend me on Facebook. Well, you can follow me on Facebook. My personal Facebook page is James L. Paris. The problem is that I've maxed out, and this happened about a year ago. I hit the 5,000 friend limit. So then what happens is you're allowed to follow me on that page because I'm a public person. So now there's over 6,000 or 7,000 followers separate from the 5,000 maximum friends. But a lot of fun stuff over at my Facebook page. Probably the best thing that I posted this week was this really cute video of a raccoon that, I'm not kidding you, goes up to the drive-through window at a Dunkin' Donuts and actually politely sits there and waits. And sure enough, they hand this raccoon a donut out the drive-through window at Dunkin' Donuts. So that was a lot of fun. A lot of people are enjoying that video. So anyway, a lot going on. So probably the biggest story right now, I would say it's a tie. It's this National Association of Realtors story, which we're going to get into on this episode. But also this judgment that the state of New York has against Trump. Now, this is for something like $360 million. So what happens is when you lose a lawsuit and you owe that money, you do have the right to appeal it. But depending on the court and the jurisdiction and what the judge decides, you may have to post a bond while that case is pending appeal. So in this case, Trump is trying to do that. He's trying to post a bond, which is an insurance company that would, in essence, step up and say, we guarantee that Trump is going to be able to pay this $360-something million, even if on appeal, he still owes that money. He can't get a bond company, apparently, to issue the bond. And what they're looking for is a bond, I guess, for like $1 billion or some crazy amount, because it has to be more, I guess, than the actual debt that you owe. I don't understand it completely, but what they're saying today in the news is that Trump is not able to get the bond. And so what this means is, I'm not an attorney, but when you lose a lawsuit and you owe the money and then you don't pay it, the creditor, which in this case is the state of New York, has the right to bring you into a deposition where you got to answer questions about where all your money is, all your assets, and they can actually start taking money from your bank accounts, start taking assets away and selling them. That's kind of what happens next. I mean, it would be crazy if Trump had to file for bankruptcy like a Chapter 11 or whatnot to protect his personal assets and his corporate assets. Personally, I think it would be a Chapter 13, but corporately it would be a Chapter 11. That's what a lot of people would do in a situation like this. But do you want to do that? File for bankruptcy going into an election? Just kind of a crazy, uncharted territory that we're in right now. So there is this lawsuit that was just settled with the National Association of Realtors. So the traditional real estate model for most parts of the country is that you put your house up for sale and there's a 6% real estate commission. So 3% of that goes to your agent, the one that gets the house all ready for sale, gets the all the pictures, puts it online, writes the description, does the open houses. They get the 3%, the half. Then the other 3% of the 6%, so the other half, goes to the agent that brings in the buyer. Now, if the listing agent actually brings in the buyer, then they get the whole 6%. Well, there's this new, there's this settlement, and what they were accusing in the lawsuit, the National Association of Realtors, is sort of like accusing them of having monopoly and, you know, controlling the entire market, which is probably true. I mean, they probably, you know, probably the realtors, I mean, pretty much most places, realtors run the MLS. And to be in the MLS, I think in most areas, you still have to be part of the Realtor Association. I know that's not the case in Florida. You can be in the MLS if you're not a realtor, but realtors kind of do have a, you know, almost like a corner on the market, if you will. So what, there's so much discussion about this online right now, and nobody knows what's going to happen. So sort of the two extremes are, the one extreme is saying that maybe only the listing agent is the one that gets any money anymore. So the person that, you know, signs you up to sell your house, puts it in the MLS, does the pictures, does the open houses, that maybe only that agent is the one that gets paid. But what they're saying now is it's going to probably be kind of more of a hybrid approach where the person selling the house pays their agent to sell it, and then the person buying the house would be the one that would pay their agent. So the buyer pays their own agent, which is called buyer agency, which is not something that is necessarily brand new, been around for a long time. It's just not a super common business model. And then the question is, if you were out shopping for a house, would you be willing, you know, let's say you're buying a house for $400,000. Would you be willing to sign a contract saying that you will pay your own broker, your own agent, $12,000, you know, the $3,000? And I don't see people being willing to do that. And I also just recently got my real estate license back. So I'm not anti-real estate in saying this. And I feel so bad for my friends that are in real estate. A lot of my partners, you know, that I work with doing mortgages are real estate agents. So I'm not rooting for this to happen or hoping that real estate agents lose money. So I had a long discussion this morning with the president of our local realtor association here in Flagler County. It was so fascinating. And one of the things that he said was he thinks there's going to be a lot of new business models that are going to be developed. So if you're the buyer, you're going to want to have representation, most likely, because you're going to need somebody to write up the contract, someone to protect your interest, someone to kind of be on your side. You know, it'd be like going to court, if you will, and the other side has an attorney, but you're only representing yourself. So I don't think many people are going to want to be in that boat. But at the same time, I think people are going to kind of balk at paying the 3% to their own agent. When the seller was paying the 3% for them, you know, the other half of the 6%, that was okay, right? Because like no money out of my pocket, the seller's paying the 6%, they're paying their agent and they're paying my agent. But now if I've got to pay the 3%. So in any case, this president of the local realtor association said there's going to be a lot of new business models. And I think he's right, where people, you know, agents representing buyers are going to offer different packages. Maybe it'll be, I'll represent you for $1,000, or I'll represent you for a certain amount of per hour of my time. Maybe for $500, I'll put your contract together for you. So there's going to be a lot of different sort of discount packages. There's still going to be those people that would pay the full 3%. But I think most people agree that the 3% for the buyer is not going to hold anymore. It's probably going to drop down to 2%. And then there are going to be some of these alternative arrangements that will probably pop up. Some of these sort of limited representation packages. So that's interesting to watch. Okay, the talk show host, Dan Bongino, posted the most fascinating video online over the weekend, and I shared it on my Facebook page. You can also find it on Dan Bongino's Facebook page. It is about the death of his mother, which is really sad, but it was chilling, this story that he shared, sort of this paranormal experience that he had. Before he found out that his mother passed away, he was home alone in bed, and he felt someone hug him. He went to get his firearm. You know, this is a guy, former Secret Service, former NYPD, so he's probably sleeping with a gun right there next to him on his pillow. Goes to get his firearm, turns around, looks, nobody's there. And he said he swears he was not asleep. In fact, he says he had woken up before that and was sort of laying in bed with his eyes closed but wasn't asleep when he felt this hug. Then after that, finds out that his mother passed away, kind of connecting the dots. The implication is that his mother gave him a hug goodbye before she passed. And it was an unexpected passing by his mother. And I'll tell you what, I believe some of these stories are true. And we've done some episodes on my podcast about the paranormal. Even within a Christian worldview, I think some of this is actually possible. And we did a show, it was maybe a couple of years ago, with a Christian author, and he shared all of these different paranormal stories. And it was just fascinating. I'm probably going to put it up on my 24-hour stream, just because this is, every time I put this show out again, it becomes huge. But just, you know, some interesting questions. And I don't think there's necessarily anything in the Bible that would say this can't happen. I know people say absent from the body, present with the Lord. I agree with that. But, you know, could a mother give their son a hug goodbye before they leave this earth? You know, it sounds like that may be what happened with Dan Bongino. And check out this video. It's just chilling. All right, so the government is back on the warpath against TikTok. They want to ban TikTok because TikTok is owned by ByteDance, which is a Chinese company, supposedly has ties to China, the Chinese Communist Party. And so there's this fear that TikTok could somehow influence our country, and we need to either shut down TikTok or we need to force the Chinese ownership to sell it, divest themselves. And, you know, I posted this online and it was interesting, the feedback I got, because I think this is absolutely right, that I don't think that our government is afraid of Chinese influence. I think that they just don't want anyone to be able to control the narrative but them. Because if you look at what happened during COVID, The government was able to absolutely control Twitter and absolutely control Facebook and the major social media platforms, Google. They were all controlled. And, you know, I had my YouTube channel taken away for questioning the election. I wasn't even really questioning the election. We just had an expert on that said, was sharing some ways on how the election could be more secure, you know, using things like the blockchain and other technology to try and protect the integrity of our elections. Well, YouTube said, you question the election, we're taking away your account. So 10 years of me posting videos to YouTube always was disappeared overnight. So a lot of my followers on Facebook agree with this, that the U.S. government is not really afraid of Chinese propaganda per se, but they want to be able to control information. And with the Chinese ownership, they can't control it. And the same thing with Elon Musk, you know, owning Twitter, which I think, you know, was a great achievement for freedom to have somebody like Elon Musk that's now letting Twitter be more of an open forum. I don't see a security risk, you know, such as TikTok is going to use their app to be able to get into all of our phones and somehow use that as a tool of war or something like that. I don't see it for that, but I do understand, you know, and I think it's true that the U.S. government wants to control the flow of information, and TikTok is certainly a place that people can share their minds. But I do think it's interesting because most of what's on TikTok is just kind of fun stuff. And I have a TikTok account, and I mentioned earlier, I'm getting a huge amount of traction on TikTok with just short videos, sharing things I'm doing in my life, but also doing a little bit of talking about real estate and mortgages and those kinds of things. But my most viral video so far on TikTok is that little video I did talking about this conspiracy theory that Elvis Presley never died, that he's alive living under an assumed name as a pastor by the name of Bob Joyce in Arkansas. And I did a video on that, and it is up on TikTok, and it's going crazy how many people are watching that video. So I'm not buying into this idea that TikTok is a danger to national security. And then this story, I don't think I mentioned this last week, maybe I did, but it went crazy this week online as well as on my social media, is this dinner box, this McDonald's dinner box. So this lady pulls into a drive-thru and she asks for the McDonald's dinner box. I've never heard of this. I'm not a huge McDonald's person. A lot of people, I posted this online, most people never heard of this before. She asks for the dinner box. So she ends up getting this you know, nice box. It almost looks like a KFC box of chicken. And then she opens it up, and inside it, there's two cheeseburgers, two Big Macs, four small fries, and a 10-piece nugget, and then order. And then there's all the sauces and everything for $12, all this food. And so this, you know, has gone crazy online because people are wanting to know, how do they get this? It's like a meal box, which could be, you know, for a family. I mean, if you've got, let's say, a mom and a dad, and you got two kids, this would be a great, you know, meal box for $12, be able to feed the family. So I checked with my local McDonald's and they don't have it. And a lot of people are saying their McDonald's doesn't have it. So I'm curious just to get feedback from people, you know, send me an email, jamesalperis@gmail.com. And let me know if you've got, the McDonald's dinner box in your area. So it's $12. Some people online are saying that they do have it and it's like $16. One person posted that they have it in their area and it's $22. So it's just going to, vary by area whether you have it or not and how much it is. I mean, $22, that doesn't seem like much of a deal. But all that food for $12, you know, if you're a McDonald's person, you might like that. Mike Pence came out this week and said he cannot, unfortunately, endorse Trump. As a matter of conscience, he cannot endorse Trump, which, you know, that's kind of not surprising, you know, after what happened with the January 6th and all of that. I still have mixed feelings about Mike Pence. I think overall, he's a good guy. He's a Christian man, probably would be a great president. But I don't know, honestly, I don't know whether he could have done anything on January 6th or not. I don't know. He claims he could not have done anything, that he checked with multiple lawyers to see what his options were, if he could, you know, not serve his ceremonial role of reading off the electoral votes. And he probably could not have done anything. That's kind of how I've thought over the years, but it is unfortunate. And a lot of people have written off Mike Pence's future. Just sort of, he was in a no-win situation. I think no matter what he did, he wasn't going to win on that. We still got a lot of people getting in touch, interested in this home equity line of credit. And I want to mention it to you again today. So you want to keep your great first mortgage. You know, some people have a 2% or a 3% first mortgage. You don't want to get rid of that. But let's say that you need some additional money right now to pay off some bills, to pay off some high interest rate credit cards, maybe pay off a car, maybe some medical bills, maybe even to help a kid go to college. Check this out. You can get this home equity line of credit. It's a second mortgage, so you can leave your first mortgage in place. It's a fixed rate, and you can close in 5 days without an appraisal. You can get your approval online in just 5 minutes. And, you know, it's a fixed rate, which people love. There's no appraisal required, and this can be used for your primary residence where you live, for investment properties, or even second homes. So if you want to find out more about this, you can do your own online application 24 hours a day and find out if you're approved or not by going to quickturnheloc.com. That's quickturn, and then HELOC is H-E-L-O-C. H-E-L-O-C, quickturnheloc.com. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, I can't read my own writing. Yes, so I put up a new promotion for the book, How to Move to Florida When You're Dirt Poor. And it's only $9.95, immediate download. You can help out the show by buying that book. It's for anybody that might be interested in moving to Florida to find out what the most affordable options are. Because, you know, prices have gone up a lot here in Florida. It used to be a bargain to come to Florida and be able to buy property. But there still are some great deals, but people need to know how to find them. And this book is available for just $9.95. And, you know, let's say that you want this book, but you can't find the order link on my Facebook page. Just go to dirtpoor.christianmoney.com. dirtpoor.christianmoney.com. Now, I found this week $110 of lost money. And I posted this on Facebook and people are like, what in the world are you talking about? So over the years, I have probably found, I don't know, maybe $5,000 or $6,000 of lost money for myself. One time I found $7,000 of lost money for my brother-in-law. And what this is, it's every state has this now, where if you are entitled to money, but they can't find you, they put it into this account. And it sits in this account controlled by the state where that money was disconnected from you, for lack of a better term. It's held by the state for a number of years, and then it actually becomes the state's money if you don't claim it. In some states, it's like 6 years or 7 years, they just keep it. And so every state has these websites now. They're the lost money website. And where does this money come from? So in the case of my brother-in-law, he actually had a bank account that he totally forgot about. And he moved from California to Louisiana and forgot about this bank account. It had $7,000 in it. And they had no way to find him to connect him with the money. So that money was being held by the state of California. In my own case, I was in insurance for a number of years. And how life insurance works is after you sell someone a policy, if they keep that policy for more than a certain period of time, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 3 years, you start getting paid these residual commissions when the client keeps that policy. Well, because all of that insurance business I was doing was when I was living in Dallas, Texas. So when I moved from Dallas, they lost touch with me. So there's always money available to me. It seems like, you know, every, I don't know, 2-3 times a year, I'll go to the Texas Lost Money website and there's money there for me. This money that I found this week happened to be at the Florida Lost Money website. It was an insurance commission, but they lost track of me from when I moved from Florida to Texas. I had some commissions building, and in this case, it was the reverse of that, but they couldn't find me. And so if you want to do this, you don't have to pay anybody. And be careful, there's a lot of scam websites out there, but you can go to your state. Every state has one of these websites, and you just type in the name of your state. So like in my case, I went to the Florida Lost Money website, just typed that into Google, and then go to that website and find that money. And if it's a website asking you to pay money or anything like that, it's a scam. You don't have to pay. You can just go to the Lost Money website and do a search. And it's fun. Do a search for yourself, for your spouse. If you have adult kids, do it. Friends, neighbors, relatives, and surprise people with lost money. People are surprised how much lost money is out there. It's incredible. It's in the billions of dollars of lost money that is out there that is unclaimed. All right, what else do we have here? I'm having a hard time today reading my own writing. Oh, this is great. So there's a lady, and I posted this story on my Facebook, who was charged with a felony for pumping 7,400 gallons of free gasoline. Can you imagine? 7,400 gallons of free gasoline. Somehow, some way, she was able to use some kind of a payment card. I don't know all the details of the technology, but somehow she was able to trick the pump and get free gas. And this went on for a long period of time, for, I guess, a number of years. She was able to get this free gas, but it was literally thousands of gallons of free gas. And so a lot of people on my Facebook page are, you know, kind of having this discussion. So one person said, well, you know, the pump gave them the gas for free, so why should they be, you know, charged criminally for that? But the truth is that the way the law works on something like this, and this is common, you'll see this where somebody all of a sudden has been getting free electricity because there's a mistake, like the electric meter isn't really working at their home, and all of a sudden they're getting thousands of dollars of free electricity. Or you see the story where somebody gets a mistake deposit into the bank account, they wake up one morning, they have $1 million. Well, those people run out and spend $1 million knowing it's not theirs. So it's basically in the law, it's your state of mind. So you knew the gas was not free. You knew that mistake of $1 million deposit into your bank account was not your money. You knew that electricity was not free. So that's where they end up being able to charge you with a felony. But the story was fascinating nonetheless, and that is on my Facebook page. Yes, so a couple of other things that we are making available as resources, additional ways that you can help the show. And we've got these posted on the Facebook page. So we did do a workshop. It's a 2-hour workshop on how to become a self-published author. And this is all of my ins and outs of how to publish print books, Kindle books, and also Audible books on Amazon. We've got that up there right now. And that's at a discount of $50, so you can get that for $49. I also did put together a special training program on podcasting. How do you start your own podcast, which is free, and be able to reach the world? And that's available for just $29. And there's a link to that also on my Facebook page. As usual, if there's anything like those offers that you want to get in touch with me directly about, or the HELOC or other things, you can always send me an email to jamesalperis@gmail.com. Thanks so much for joining us. A fast-paced show this week, a lot to get into. Always enjoy doing it and getting together with you at the microphone each week. And tell your friends about the show. Leave us a review over at iTunes if you can, and that'll help build our audience. God bless. Thanks for joining us. So long, everybody.